The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Thursday, 24 October 2019, talking to Mr. James Fetzer, Professor Fetzer, if I may. And we are discussing Sandy Hook. I'm a little astounded here, and it seems to me that you're not really upset that the other two people that were named in the suit decided to settle.
Well, John, that was their decision. They're very good friends of mine. Mike Palachek had even written a book about me and Kevin Barrett, comparing us to the White Rose movement in Germany opposing fascism. We had a radio show together on GCN called The Dynamic Duo for a year and a half. We've both been very active, both in relation to 9/11 and other issues. Kevin had a book on Charlie Hebdo, for example, which is one of a large number of these false flag attacks that have taken place in Europe. I respect them. They are still good friends of mine. This is a very unusual situation. I'm not going to bend on the truth. In fact, when I was called as a hostile witness by the plaintiffs during the trial, I stated at one point when something arose about the death certificate that the allegations of authenticity, that my point about the fabrication of the death certificate was, with all due respect, they were not defamatory, because with all due respect to the court, they were true, at which point the judge had the jury leave the room, admonish me, and then when they returned, he repeated what I'd said and told them they must strike it and not allow it to influence them, so that Kevin Barrett, who was actually there at the time, has published a really wonderful article about it that you can find on the UNZ.com website about the legal lynching of a truth seeker. It's really marvelous and captures the spirit of the trial exactly. Here's the total: the legal lynching of a truth seeker, Jim Fetzer, Stalinist style show trial at UNZ. And this really captures what happened there. Among the points he makes is that the judge was reprimanding me for telling the truth under oath. Here I was under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and I was being reprimanded because I told the truth. Mm-hmm. There are three points I'd like to make before we take any calls. You're going to find them fascinating, John. Then they're all related to your question about Noah Posner and his death. We have... And I explained during my various submissions, my briefs to the court, that there was a fraud being perpetrated on the court because this was not the right party, and that there had been no deaths at Sandy Hook, and that therefore the plaintiff actually was guilty of fraud and theft by deception, because those who had feigned being parents at Sandy Hook had received donations between $27 and $130 million from sympathetic but gullible Americans, divided by the 26 families of the purported survivors. That's between $1 and $5 million. So they were rather handsomely rewarded. Interestingly, no lawsuits were brought initially against the school. Belatedly, years later, when it was pointed out that that was very peculiar, because normally if there's a school shooting, that happens. But the evidence that this was a fraud is massive. I was just sent a little short video a couple days ago, and you see kids in the background laughing, joking, while the fake parent is talking to the reporter about the seriousness of all this. And the kids are laughing and playing in the background, smiling. I mean, it's obvious this was just a completely contrived event.
Jim, now, what grabbed me out of any of the supposed parents that were interviewed for the mass indoctrination media in this country was a one Robbie Parker.
Yeah.
Now, Robbie was, they were waiting for the press conference to take place. He was approximately 10 feet behind a microphone, laughing and talking and joking. You can physically see the man laughing, steps up to the microphone, and immediately turns on the tears. When I saw that, Jim, I thought something is really rotten here in Denmark.
You had other alleged parents of decedents go on television, one couple with Anderson Cooper, and the mother is actually flirting with Anderson, apparently unaware of his preferences. I mean, it was just, you had this happening again and again, John. I mean, the parents didn't act as though they were aggrieved.
Right.
It's completely ridiculous. But get this now. So I've been making these arguments throughout that Noah Posner is a fiction made up of photographs of Michael Vabner, who's supposed to be his older stepbrother. Well, once you realize you have all these photographs going around the world of this person who's supposed to be the real Leonard Posner with Noah, but you find that Noah is actually Michael Vabner as a child, it's reasonable to infer, since they appear to be in a parent-child relationship, that this actually is the father of Michael Vabner, whose name is Reuben Vabner. So when the plaintiffs moved to have a DNA test to confirm that it was Noah, the son of the plaintiff who had died there, I objected because it was obvious to me it would be very easy to get a sample from Michael Vabner and compare it with a sample from Reuben Vabner, and yet these are not Noah and Leonard Posner. So I said, let's expand the DNA test. I formally moved to expand the DNA test to include Noah Posner, Leonard Posner, Michael Vabner, Reuben Vabner, and Veronique De La Rosa, the mother. And the judge just shut it in his side. Not only that, but they got the DNA sample, which of course turned out to be a match from Wayne Carver, the medical examiner. But Wayne Carver was not supposed to have a DNA sample in Connecticut. It's the law that all these samples, this evidence from a crime scene has to go to a central repository, and they did not obtain it from the central repository. Not only that, but the guy who served as the funeral director wasn't even licensed to be a funeral director. I mean, I made motions to strike right and left, and they went absolutely nowhere. So that, you know, I mean, I had a mass of evidence to support every claim I made in the entire case, but it was really effectively just set aside by the judge. And, you know, I'm just going to give you the facts here, John. You can draw your own inference, but I'm telling you, you know, this was not what I expected would happen in a court of law, which is supposed to be governed by rules of law, logic, and evidence.
Well, and all of what you're proposing, if it was followed through with the judge and you were in error, you made egregious mistakes, this was, this was just an absolute aberration of court proceeding. And what I don't understand about this is, if they were really engaged and they wanted to find the truth, now supposedly that's what we get in court. Evidence is presented, people figure out who's zooming whom, who's providing good evidence, who's telling the fairy tales, you get the idea. And what amazes me is, if these other venues, these other avenues were followed and it went against your contentions, case closed. But
yeah, of course.
But it's not. And I'm sure we're going to get questions on this today. How many people were involved in the cover-up of Sandy Hook and the supposed shooting? How do you keep all these people silent?
Well, that has a couple of aspects to it. As Sophia Smallstorm was the first to point out, this was what's known as the capstone event. FEMA negotiates with communities to run these exercises, and they pay the communities millions of dollars to run the exercises on the condition that the community not care about how they are presented to the public through the mainstream media. So they're being paid off. You can look it up, John, that FEMA is doing all these capstone exercises, but we never hear about them. Why aren't we hearing about them? Because they're Sandy Hook, a Boston bombing, Orlando, Parkland, Charlottesville. The taxpayer is paying for these events that are being used to instill fear into the public, to manipulate us, to promote a political agenda. And let me make a key point. Barack Obama nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which had precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda within the United States that had been heretofore only used without by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring a Sandy Hook, so that these events are now legal because of Barack Obama's nullification of the Smith-Mundt Act. And one of my colleagues, by the way, is a former Army Intel and PSYOPs officer, and he has confirmed how when they were planning events, they were very aware that they must not violate the Smith-Mundt Act until, of course, Obama has nullified it to unleash upon us this veritable flood of phony fake events. And therefore, what I do, you see, is particularly threatening to the deep state because I bring together, again, groups of experts, not just on Sandy Hook, on the Boston bombing, on Orlando and Dallas, on Charlottesville, on Parkland. I guarantee you 100% every one of those was a staged event. I could go into it in detail. I have books about all of these at moonrockbooks.com. And guess what, John? Not only has Amazon banned the Sandy Hook book, they've now banned five more of my books. We only had 12 books. They banned six, including the book on the Boston bombing, the book on Orlando and Dallas, the book on Charlottesville, the book on Parkland, and a book on the moon landing, They have banned six of my books. Now, a lot of people say that's a pretty impressive endorsement that we got things right. And I guarantee you, John, they aren't banning them because we had anything wrong.
Any more than YouTube. I'm looking at a story on your page here, jamesfetzer.org. YouTube removes 17,000 channels, 100,000, a tenth of a million videos, and 500 million comments under the guise of hate speech, because these people are just trying to glorify Nazi ideology. And you know what I find especially amusing here? That the Nazi Party were the National Socialist. What do we have in this country today? We have, they're calling it democratic socialism or social democracy or whatever the case may be, and there's little or no difference based on those comparative ideas.
John, I know you're aware of all the FEMA camps distributed all over the country. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they've ran the Jade Held 15 operation, which was really a snatch-and-grab training to perform operations in urban centers that resembled cities in the United States.
Where most people don't understand, under Daryl Gates in Los Angeles during the whole schmear with the L.A. riots, that it was actually the police chief out there of L.A. That, in fact, did the first exercise in the snatch and grabs.
Yeah, that's very good. Now, remember, I'm a former Marine Corps officer. After I returned from 13 months in the Far East, training ops in Japan twice, in Formosa, in Korea, in the Philippines, I was never in Vietnam. I was assigned to the recruit depot in San Diego, where I had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command. And I can guarantee you, you don't pull training ops except for operations you're planning to conduct. So these snatch and grabs Jame held 15 was bona fide. They were converting Walmarts into military command and control centers. They were moving all the civilian items, the foodstuffs and everything else, and replacing it with military equipment.
Jim, I have even posted on this network years ago. I was in the video Camp FEMA and demonstrating how these FEMA detention camps can be, get this, folks, these camps, all you need is a flat piece of ground with a clear perimeter. You can set these little FEMA camp retention centers up in a half hour or less.
Well, let me tell you, Alex Jones has actually done a lot of good. He's not thorough and systematic. That's where I come in and my colleagues. But he's very good at pointing out puzzling situations, things don't add up, and inviting speculation about it. What are the possible alternative explanations? For this, he is known as a conspiracy theorist, of course.
I know him. Jim, all to be fair here, I don't look for Alex for much of anything anymore. But I appreciate the corollary there and the example. But
No, you're not listening. John, the point I'm making is, in scientific reasoning, there are four stages. Alex is good at the first two. The third and the fourth, however, are crucial. The third is a stage of adaptation. How do the alternative hypotheses explain the available evidence? The hypothesis, if it were true, that would provide the highest probability for the available evidence is the one that has the highest measure of evidential support from that evidence, provided you've sorted out the authentic from the inauthentic. You see, they dismiss the idea that Jack had been shot from the right front because the autopsy x-ray didn't show it, but David Manning discovered that was because they patched the x-ray and altered it. And they would also claim he didn't have his brains blown out in Dealey Plaza because they had photographs and diagrams of a brain that showed a virtually intact brain, but that's because it wasn't even the brain of John F. Kennedy. Right. I mean, just ask yourself, you heard me enumerate, here are a couple other features from the 14th, the day of the alleged shooting. No surge of EMTs into the building, no string of ambulances to rush the little bodies off to hospitals where their bodies could be declared to be dead or alive, no medevac helicopter called, triage tarps put out, no bodies dead or wounded ever placed upon them. So what's the probability, if Sandy Hook was real, an actual mass shooting, that you'd have a sign everyone must check in, porta potties in place, pizza and bottled water available at the firehouse, so many there with color-coded name tags on lanyards, parents bringing children to the scene, no surge of EMTs in the building, no string of ambulances to rush their little bodies off to hospitals, triage tarps with no bodies ever placed on, no medevac helicopter call, versus if it was a drill? Obviously, if it had been real, those would have approximately zero probability, but if it was fake, very high, and that's exactly what happened. And then when all the evidence settles down and points in the same direction, you're entitled to move to the fourth step of scientific reasoning, which is explanation, by accepting the best supported of the alternative hypothesis as true, but in the tentative and fallible fashion of science, meaning, yes, it's the best supported and we take it to be true, but that doesn't mean that if we get new evidence or alternative explanations, it might turn out to be false. So there's always that qualification. But believe me, the evidence has settled down. There's no doubt about it. The evidence is overwhelming. The judge would not allow me to introduce it in court.
And it's fascinating to me. Journalism is on trial, and I think that can be evidenced here by Julian Assange, what they have done with him, the circumstances in which he's been held. A friend of his showed up for a hearing the other day over in England, and Julian Assange had trouble remembering his name and his date of birth.
Yes. They've been turning his brain into mush.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're coming up to the break here, and I just wanted to say before the break here, I, for one, want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Whether it goes against my opinion, whether it goes against a set of facts, I want to know what the real truth is. I'm tired of this obfuscation, the Mickey Mouse hiding the facts for a greater good, and all of this other garbage. That's not what we are about here. We want the facts, just the facts, ma'am. Talking with James Fetzer, We'll take this break. We'll take your calls right after.
It dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we are back. Let's go to the phones. Frank in New Hampshire, you're up first. Hello, Frank.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's a great topic tonight. I'm so glad it's being discussed. I want to thank Professor Fetzer for following this through as far as he has and showing the courage and the bravery that I wish so many other people in his position would show. But super thankful for that. Thank you. The reason I called, I have a couple questions, plus something came out today about Sandy Hook that kind of makes me wonder how they keep the PSYOP going. You don't need to convince me that it's all an elaborate hoax, I understand, but what they do is they introduce these little nuances to the PSYOP to continue the hoax in the hopes that, you know, people will continue to believe. But have you heard about what happened today with the brother of Jesse Lewis that was supposedly killed there that day?
No, I have not. Tell me.
Yeah, Biden's all tied up in this thing where he claimed he went to Sandy Hook and visited with all the families, and the brother, the supposed brother, J.T. Lewis, who's now 19, says he's the brother of Jesse, who was six, killed at Sandy Hook. He's claiming that Biden's a liar and that never happened, and the only person that actually did come to Newtown and visit with all the families was Obama. So we've got this brother out there in the news today saying that Joe Biden's a liar, saying that he was there visiting with all the families. I'm just wondering, what's your take on that, that this brother is out there saying that his younger brother was killed and that Joe Biden's a liar?
Well, his younger brother wasn't killed, but Joe Biden claimed to have gone and visited the families, and apparently he did not. There's so much going on here, because this was a Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Eric Holder, Daniel Malloy, governor, Connecticut State Police, Newtown School Board, fake families, school officials, and all that. Fraud. I mean, it was very elaborate. Let me give you an illustration. About a month before Sandy Hook, on the program Greater Boston, which is hosted by Andy Rooney's daughter, she had on Tom Menino, who was at the time the mayor of Boston, and Menino was boasting about how he was a good buddy with Joe Biden. And he said that Joe Biden, the vice president, had assured him that gun control would be a done deal by January of 2013. The host, Rooney's daughter, was just dumbfounded, and she said, what could possibly happen for legislation to pass so fast? The mayor wouldn't say, but obviously he was talking about Sandy Hook. Eric Holder traveled to Connecticut on the 27th of November and met with a governor to talk with him about the gun control agenda of the Obama administration. When the governor gave a press conference about this event the very day, he said that he and the lieutenant governor had been spoken to, that something like this might happen. Got me to ponder, something like this, what could he possibly mean? There are only two alternatives: that someone was going to go crazy and shoot up a bunch of kids in a public school in Connecticut, in which case he as governor had an obligation to warn the school systems to take extra security measures to ensure it did not happen, which he did not do, or alternatively, he'd been told they were going to take an abandoned school and conduct a drill and present it as a mass murder to promote gun control, which is exactly what happened. And the party by whom he was told was obviously Eric Holder. Wolfgang, this is all on tape. I mean, it's easily verifiable. Wolfgang Halbig at one point was in the governor's office, and we came in and asked him, Governor, by whom were you told that something like this might happen? And the governor just said, I never said any such thing, which is obviously contrary to the facts. Barack Obama, just a month and 2 days after the alleged shooting on the 16th of January 2013, signed 23 executive orders to constrain our access to weapons under the Second Amendment. It was that bad. It was that blatant.
No, I completely remember, yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's another interesting aspect. Jesse Lewis's father testified to Congress, and it was very interesting. He brought a huge portrait that was a photograph of him and Jesse. But if you look at the portrait, I mean, this is like a year after the shooting. He looks 15 years maybe older than he does in the portrait, much too old. Carl Herman has published a brilliant book about how the Sandy Hook mothers average 36 years for giving birth to their children, which has an infinitesimal probability. I mean, it's a truly staggering improbability, because the average for mothers in the United States giving birth is 26, and that all of these Sandy Hook mothers were 10 years older is because they were faking the kids using photographs of the children when they were younger. I mean, this is what accounts for it. It's a brilliant statistical study by Carl Herman, who, by the way, along with Paul Craig Roberts, published two really wonderful pieces at the liability stage. And now Kevin Barrett has published a wonderful piece I already mentioned, and Kurt Nemo, another, entitled Sandy Hook and the Murder of the First Amendment, which I've just republished on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Let me say, in anticipation of coming on with John tonight, I made sure that if anyone would like to support my efforts to support the First Amendment, I have a new donation site at jamesfetzer.com. Jamesfetzer.com. Because this is a massive struggle to keep America free. Without the First Amendment, we are utterly lost, and this is a huge First Amendment case.
All right, we've got a break here. Frank, did I hear you correctly? You had something else?
Yeah,
hold on 1 second. We'll break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Frank in New Hampshire, what was the second part of your query?
Well, the thing that troubles me the most about all of this, and going all the way back to 9/11, I'm still, you know, finding that a lot of people are walking around in a fog, unable to really figure any of this out, read between the lines kind of stuff. And everything that's happened since 9/11, including 9/11, seems like an almost impossible, dauntingly challenging learning curve that I don't think a lot of people are going to be able to figure out. And what I would like to know is, what is, in your opinion, the best way to overcome these disinformation programs, and what's your prognosis, the current view of where we are as a republic, and do you think we'll be able to save this country?
Well, that's very, very interesting. We just happen to have maybe the one now political figure in the country who could actually do that. Here's a new report. This just showed up. President Trump cancels Washington Post and New York Times subscriptions across all federal agencies, saves taxpayers thousands, and prevents spread of fake news. Now, that's a brilliant stroke. I have come, although when I was growing up, the New York Times was the absolute standard. There was a woman with whom I was engaged at one point in time who was studying for a PhD in psychology who lived and breathed for the New York Times. I mean, she had to have her New York Times fixed every single day. The New York Times is our newspaper of record, meaning what you read in the New York Times is supposed to be the official history of the United States. But I have long since characterized the New York Times as the Langley newsletter. It's so infested by the CIA, it doesn't publish anything reliable on a serious subject. Similarly, for the mega news agencies, the television, I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have another panel of 100 executives from NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have another panel of 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. There was a foreign country that was seeking to affect our election in 2016, but it wasn't Russia.
Well, and Jim, it was even another respected publication. It wasn't a newspaper. It was Popular Science, and they debunked the whole 9/11 issue. So we're all full of...
You mean Popular Mechanics? That was a hostile takeover. Yeah. Hostile takeover, John. They did that deliberately to trade on the good name of Popular Mechanics. Listen, I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December of 2005 when Alex Jones had an American Scholars Conference in June of 2006 in Los Angeles. He invited me to be the keynote speaker. When they had the panel discussion that was filmed by PBS, no, C-SPAN, for an hour and 45 minutes. The four speakers in the panel were all members of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. Steve Jones, a PhD in physics from BYU. Bob Bauman, who had been had a PhD in nuclear engineering from Caltech and was a scientific advisor on the Star Wars project for Presidents Reagan and Ford. Webster Tarpley, who'd published a brilliant book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in the USA, and me as the founder of Scholars, where I gave the top 10 reasons we know that the hijackers were fake. I mean, I'm telling you, I have, you know, not only organized five conferences, national conferences on JFK, and published four books on JFK, but I've been flown all over the world to speak on 9/11. In 2006, I and my wife were flown all expense paid to Athens. We were put on a television program by the leading muckraker in Greece, had been responsible for bringing down corrupt Greek governments. Going in, they said, while there were 12 panelists, normally only a few asked questions. I said, not tonight. And indeed, all 12 of them asked questions. They had sensational video clips set up. It was originally scheduled for 3 hours. They extended it for another half hour. It was broadcast worldwide by satellite. I mean, it was sensational. In 2008, 2009, I was flown to Buenos Aires in 2008 to give lectures on JFK and 9/11. Just to show you how different foreign countries are in their respect and appreciation for intellectuals and academicians, they had front page stories in the newspapers in Argentina about my lectures on JFK and 9/11. And the following year, they organized an international symposium on 9/11 Truth and Justice that was held in the National Library of the Republic of Argentina. There were like a dozen TV cameras there from the biggest stations in Argentina and many VIPs, and I was the keynote speaker for that event as well. So I'm telling you, I mean, I organized at the Friends House in London, debunking the war on terror. I'm telling you, the government is so much trying to suppress what happened here. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense and the Mossad. It was inspired by Bibi Netanyahu in the 1980s. He had this vision of how to draw the United States into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran. Let me just say this. Iran hysteria is insane. Iran is the most peaceful, loving nation in the world. Iran hasn't launched a war of aggression against any other state since 1777.
And I've got to roll you in a little bit. There are small questions, but when dealing with a man such as yourself, there's always large answers. So I've got to curtail it here.
Frank, go ahead, John.
Frank in New Hampshire, thank you very much for your call. Let's move to Samuel in California. Hello, Samuel.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Jim, when you were in court and the prosecutor and the judge made accusations, did you object to everything?
Well, this is one of the disadvantages I had of not objecting enough. When the court did ask me, did I agree, there were no disputed facts. However, I said no, which may be the single most important assertion I made during the entire proceeding leading up to the summary judgment. By the way, I mentioned I have this donation site. I'm not looking for money to pay off $450,000. I don't have $450,000. That's about my net worth. But everything I have is from my retirement and from Social Security. So it's not vulnerable. I am going to have this case reversed. I'm highly confident. And when they reverse it, the whole judgment, the 450 is out the window. This was a political trial. This was a show trial to impress the public.
Of course it was, Jim. But if you didn't object, and if you didn't call it hearsay, et cetera, and almost everything is hearsay, because in reality, common law calls for two witnesses before it's hearsay, okay? So if it went into the record, now you're going to face those charges as if they're true, if the objection wasn't there, is what I'm saying.
And what I'm telling you is that on appeal, this whole thing is going to be tossed because he violated, among other points, the protocols for a summary judgment by rendering
Jim,
ruling.
Samuel, hang on a second. He's giving you an answer. You'll be allowed to speak. Give the man the floor space.
Okay.
He violated the protocols for summary judgment. That's probably our strongest basis of appeal. My attorney is a very experienced appeals attorney. He knows the court system here. He is well known and recognized and highly regarded in the appeals court here in Wisconsin. I speak very candidly. The reason I'm looking for money is because once it's overthrown on appeal, which I predict will occur, I get the opportunity to have the trial I should have had in the first place and to bring in the witnesses I would have had I been allowed to go to trial with the judge ought to have done.
Okay. Let me jump in here, Samuel, and I think I know where you're going with this one. This is about procedure and objections, what you can bring up in appeal. I understand that. But if you're listening to the professor here, I don't think he doesn't believe he's even going to need that. The whole thing is going to be thrown out. I thank you for your call, sir. I appreciate it. I've got full bank here. I got to keep moving. John in Northern Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello, and Jim, Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
Thank you for your thank you for your service. And you brought up Eric Holder, and also I wanted to restate that Connecticut does not have any sheriffs. They have state police, and state police are federal agents. And that's a very big part here because you don't have a sheriff at all to count on for
You're spot on. I believe this is one of the reasons Connecticut may be the most corrupt state in the union. The operation we discovered was being run behind the scenes by the Connecticut State Police. If you download the book, you'll find in Chapter 7, we have 50 photographs of them furnishing an empty house to be the Adam Lanza residence. You can tell it was an empty house because there's nothing on any of the walls. There's no pictures, no decorations, no nothing. I think the real estate agent who made it available didn't want him to tacky up the walls because they wanted to sell the house eventually, though now, of course, it's been destroyed, as has the school, to get rid of the evidence. But we got 50 photographs, including the most important in the Nancy Lanza bedroom, where you see some red stuff on the bed, and it's not blood. It looks to me like it might be raspberry jam. This is where Adam is supposed to have shot his mother with a .22 caliber rifle. Then on a cedar chest, there are forms we find in many of the other photographs because they seem to have been keeping records of how they organized the room. Beneath the leg of the bed, with her keen eye, Kelly Watt, once again, who has her own home and professional cleaning service, spotted a blue moving pad that in their haste they forgot to remove. In Chapter 8, we have 50 photographs of them refurbishing the school to serve as the stage for this elaborate scam. We even have the moving trucks coming in. We have the name tag of the moving company for one of the classrooms. The piece de resistance is a photograph of the crime scene vehicle already in the parking lot, where when you look just above the roof of the vehicle, you see a string of four windows in classroom 10 that are undamaged. That's significant because after the event, they'd be shot out, in particular the second panel. So this is before the event. The flag is at full mast. You come down the flag, you look to the right, there's a familiar figure reclining against the wall with his arms folded, Wayne Carver, the medical examiner, awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent. There is crime scene tape up for a crime that is yet to be committed. In the first edition, we believe the photograph had been taken the morning of the 14th. Based on shadow analysis, we revised, and I corrected that in the second edition. It was taken the night of the 13th. They were setting up for the event of the next day. Interestingly, when the book was banned, InfoWars published a story about the banning of the book, which at the time was a highly unusual, extraordinary event. And they used an even better and more clear version of that specific photograph. The story was up for like 38 minutes. It had already drawn 138 comments, and it was immediately taken down. Why? Because it had photo credit to Connecticut State Police.
You know, and John, thank you for your call. Got to keep moving here. I'm a little dyslexic, Professor. When I see state police, I see police state. I'm sorry. The county sheriffs, these are the only people, law, enforcement, they used to be known as peace officers. These are the people that are elected into office and can be unelected from office. This is the way that we held control on law enforcement when law enforcement ever decided it was going to, well, get off the track, so to speak. John, again, thank you for your call. Let me go to Mike in Kentucky. Hello, Mike.
Well, he made a connection, part of which I wanted to make was that, and I hate to keep bringing up AJ, but he interviewed a sheriff down in Texas where they were going to raid a recently closed police headquarters and do a mock military raid on that and scared a bunch of people half to death in a nursing home across the street because it was unannounced. They're throwing in flashbang grenades and all this stuff. This sheriff, they worked around him. They couldn't get him to play along. They even tried to bribe him by making donations to his wife's favorite charity, you know, and he has that as an interview. So I don't know that it would matter where they did this because they'll find a workaround, even if you have a sheriff,
well,
you know.
In Parkland, the sheriff, Scott Israel, kept his deputies out because they were conducting a phony shooting. Actually, they'd sent the kids home at 1 p.m. It was Valentine's Day. They only kept behind a couple of dozen to be student crisis actors. They had a guy in a SWAT uniform with a SIM gun. He was firing what's known as SIM munition. It's made out of beeswax and laundry detergent. It won't penetrate the skin. It'll create a welt. This is why you had the medical miracle of students walking around with Band-Aids on what were supposed to be AR-15 wounds. They were only hit with SIM munition. But Scott Israel wouldn't let his deputies go into the building because they weren't in the loop, and he was worried they might take out the fake shooter who was in the building.
Well, and of course, Scott Israel's job is on the line, and there's actions being taken by the governor of Florida right now against him.
I think he's already out. Let me just say, I have a video that I think a lot of your listeners would like. It's how to spot a false flag, where I go through like 12 to 15 of these cases. They're all, each of them, I'm very focused on giving you the key points, how you can know these are fraudulent.
And where can
at 153news.net, how to spot a false flag. And by the way, this is one of the bastions of freedom of the press, 153news.net, and the guy's suffering financially, and if he can't get support by the end of the year, he's got 3,000 or more subscribers. But we got to keep this going because YouTube has become so completely corrupt, John, so completely corrupt, as you were observing. In fact, listen to this. Lenny Posner, the guy who sued me, has admitted under oath that he was responsible for taking down 1,555 videos about Sandy Hook. Now, do you think any of those said something stronger than to observe that the death certificate was a fabrication?
I would imagine.
Which, I would imagine. And during an interview he did with a guy in Berlin who's been tied into false flag events in Europe, He boasted of having been responsible for removing tens of thousands of content items from the internet. This guy is like the tip of the spear.
All right. Mike in Kentucky. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've been a supporter back when it was known as Republic Broadcasting and when you were still friendly with AJ. But just as a way of example, they do not want any independent media left. They're killing the First Amendment. It's like a Jenga tower of confidence. They keep pulling the pegs out of the Ten Amendments, you know. And they, you know, it's not supposed to be excessive fines and cruel and unusual punishment. Yeah. Why are they trying to get rid of me with a $144,000 fine, trying to get rid of a local TV station that's been an advocate for truth for 22, 23 years?
And Mike, I'm glad you brought up the AJ thing because, yeah, we used to be associated. The one thing that started off my distaste for Alex Jones is when he tried to and damn near took this network down.
And, well, it became a megaphony.
Megaphony. I want people to understand that the rumors were out there that I hated Alex Jones because of his success, and I was jealous. No, I wanted to keep everything on an even Steven, not over the top, credible for people, new people coming in, trying to find out what's going on, that they're not looking at a mouthpiece with a bad ego.
Mike, thanks for your call.
I'm sorry,
Posner's attorneys were arguing that Alex Jones got all of his ideas from me, whereas Alex Jones has never featured me on Sandy Hook, and he admitted during his oral deposition in the Connecticut case he'd never even read Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. I mean, how can you take a stand on Sandy Hook and not have read the one scholarly volume that brings together experts to dissect the case?
Sherry in Kansas, we got three calls to get through and very little time to get there. Go ahead, Sherry.
Okay, I just wanted to say, I think it was the week before last, Mark Anderson Ron Avery. And Ron was
wonderful show. Wonderful show.
You heard it.
Ron Avery went through the case and just dissected and it showed the whole case was a sham. I was only talking about the document. I wasn't even talking about Posner. Therefore, I cannot have defamed Posner because defamation have to be of a person. That was a brilliant. I shared that with my attorney.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I wanted to make sure you knew.
Thank you, Sherry. I appreciate it. Yeah. Many hands make for light work. Whether it's supporting what you're doing, us trying to stay on the air as a network.
Yes.
We need people's support, but we also need them to ante up because times are bad. The economy's not as good as everybody claims that it is. And we need the support for that which is supportable. I think we have met the threshold as a network for that criteria, and certainly yourself. That's why I let out with your bio and a little bit more of your background. Because nobody talks enough about that.
Greatly. I mean, look, I spent 35 years offering courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning. What I'm doing is, with that background, putting it to work to benefit the American public, because the people deserve to know the truth about their own history.
All right. Murr in Wisconsin. Hello, Murr.
Hi, Jim and Don.
Hello.
Hey, it's important to remember this modernized Smith-Mountain Act of 1948. It's curious it was 1948. It was started anyway. I guess keep them honest while they were setting up Israel. But right in the same box on that graph with Newtown, Connecticut, before that, Aurora, Colorado theater fiasco involved Robert Holmes, okay? And Peter Lanza was the one for Newtown, Connecticut. Adam didn't exist. This was about the LIBOR scandal. These two events are about the London Interbank Offered Rate scandal, which went away. They were both to testify.
Hmm.
And this was a show of force by the banker wankers that they can just change reality.
Murr, you know, I wasn't expecting that. Jim, have you heard of this?
I think Murr has raised the point before. I'm not an expert on the LIBOR scandal, and I think it's a fascinating aspect that deserves further research, so I'm really glad she raises it. It's quite evident that they were doing this to promote gun control, and now that they're challenging the First Amendment, so people won't realize that all these staged events don't justify taking guns away from the American
Jim,
people.
Jim, I think we got our answer on gun control with Beto, our Mexican-Irish guy.
Yeah.
And him saying we're going to take your AKs and your ARs,
right?
And
that
then we have seen law enforcement step up and say, you know what? No, you're not.
Not on our watch.
Ken in New York. Hello, Ken. Ken, are you there,
Professor?
There you are.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead,
Professor. I like to look at the money aspect that changes hands in these things. Was it true that all of the homes that belonged to the participants, the mortgages were all paid off, and did they scatter to the four winds for the most part?
Well, that's very peculiar that on Christmas Eve, and real estate agents have all observed no business goes forward on Christmas Eve, you have a whole lot of mortgages for these Sandy Hook families that are showing that they are purchased for zero. In other words, that they were gifted. What was going on is they were creating a synthetic community that were going to be the Sandy Hook parents. This was years in the planning. Just as a lawsuit against me was years in the planning, they had to find some very narrowly crafted way to try to show I had something wrong in the book. And notwithstanding all their efforts, they haven't actually proven it. The judge has ruled that way. But the fact that but judges don't determine the facts any more than the Catholic Church could determine that the earth doesn't rotate on its axis in relation to Galileo. So,
Ken, I appreciate your call. We are out of time, Professor.
Well, John, it has been great being on with you, and I just want to emphasize, I'm not looking for money to pay this $450,000. It's not going to happen. It's going to be reversed. I need money to support the lawsuit that's going to expose the whole bloody thing as a sham. The lawsuit the judge denied me by his summary judgment ruling, which I expect to be overturned by the appeals court.
Well, and it would seem to some people out there we're on a competing track for the diminishing dollars out there, but we are both we both need to support. I want to emphasize this because the only way that Mr. Fetzer is going to be able to get his message out and have that interaction between the public and the people that we interview is, well, to have phone lines, have produced programming, and to have people like Mr. Fetzer on. So both important.
And sounds great. Great of you, John, to have me on. I would just repeat it. You know, the website is jamefetzer.org, and the donation is jamefetzer.com. And if you feel the First Amendment matters to you, I encourage you to support not only my legal effort, but John's effort here with RBN, because he's doing a great job. This is a wonderful interview, John. I'm very grateful.
Well, and I'm most appreciative. I was kind of shocked that you were able to do it on such short notice, but things just fell the way they were supposed to, Professor.
I'm grateful, John.
And I thank you, sir, and I thank you for your continued efforts for searching out the truth and trying to present it to people. It would seem sometimes that they want to remain ignorant because the facts are discomforting. Thank you again. Jim.
I'm going to do what I can as long as I can, John, and thank you.
I as well, my friend. Thank you. All right. Mr. Fetzer's damn near 80 years old now, and he sounds like a very young man. Here's a man on a mission. Folks, don't let the fires of passion go out, because that is actually what is going to save us. The people that don't say, I quit. Thanks for being here. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.